Hi, I'm Diane Chandler.
And I'm Perry Grossman.
And this is Own Your Throne. Ladies, your life is not over. You are just at the beginning of reigniting and redefining your life.
And through this show, you will meet inspiring women who have recreated and redefined what it really means to thrive and age gracefully.
Our guests are some of the most inspiring women on the planet. We were honored to sit down with each of them and get real about their own journeys and what it took for them to truly own their throne.
Natalie Jill is the founder, owner, and CEO of Natalie Jill Fitness. She holds a degree in health and human performance from the University of Maryland and is a licensed master sports nutritionist and functional fitness trainer. Her other certifications, trainings, and awards include Certified Licensed Sports Nutritionist, Certified Personal Trainer, Certified in Health Advocacy, Certified in Resistance Training, Certified in Fitness Evaluation, and American Marketing Certifications in Sales Training, Effective Executive Speaking, Sales Management, and Sales Training.
Hi, everybody. I'm Perry Jones Grossman, along with my co-host,
Diane Chandler.
And we have a very special guest today. You probably wonder who this beauty is. This is Natalie Jill, and she is a fitness queen.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I can say queen.
Yes,
you are a queen. She's definitely our queen of fitness. Yes.
She owns her throne. Yes. She's going to be talking about how she's been doing that for many, many years, which your story is amazing. So I think we should just start with just talk about how you got into this, because I saw pictures of you when you just had your baby. And then it all changed, right?
It's so funny when people ask about that because, you know, my daughter is almost 13. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know how much longer I can say, but I just had a baby. but yeah, so I'm really just like anyone else. And but who I was 13 years ago is not who I was today. Like, if you had told me 13 years ago, I would be a best-selling author, or I would have this platform that I have, or I would have this community of people that I've helped transform, I would have never have imagined that at the time. Mm-hmm. Because who I was then was definitely not who I am today. Who I was then was a new mom who was recently divorced, who had, for the first time in my life, gained a lot of weight. And I say a lot of weight because it was 60-pound weight gain, and I'm only 5'2". Mm-hmm. And just to put it in perspective, my daughter weighed 6 pounds when she was born. So the placenta did not weigh 54 pounds. That was purely McDonald's French fries and hot fudge sundaes with extra fudge.
Right.
It was also during 2007, 2008, and if you remember what was going on in our world, we had a massive financial setback. Everyone, it wasn't just me. So for the first time in my life, I was facing this uncertainty around being a single mom, about being broke, not being able to afford my house, going through a divorce. There was just a lot of hitting things at one time. And I remember feeling the word that kept coming up for me was fake. And I don't mean fake in like how I looked, but fake in who I was, because I felt like I had no one I could share my struggle or depression with, because I had built this facade of a life. Like go to college, check, get married, check, have the kid, check. Like, I had this persona and everything was falling apart and I didn't know how to share that with people. So that's who I was back in 2007.
So that would have been believe it or not, Natalie is 48 now,
almost 49
in September.
Yeah. Yep.
And so you would have been 35.
Yeah, I was almost 36 when I had my daughter. Okay. So this was new, and I remember the turning point for me. Was I was walking my daughter and my two labs at the time, and I caught a glimpse of myself in, you know, those windows you walk by that have like a mirror reflection.
Yeah. Yes.
And I remember stopping and pausing, and I looked and I was like, I don't recognize myself. Like, what is happening here? Like, all I saw was bags under the eyes and overweight and things hanging on me. And I was like, is this what happens? Like, is this middle age? Is this like you have a kid and you just, this is what happens.
Right.
And I remember having this moment of, no, there's more. And what is it that you actually want? What do you not want, but what do you actually want? Mm-hmm. And that was the turning point for me, because I asked myself that bigger question of, what did I want to step into?
Wow.
And what were you like, because I know you a little bit and we've been friends for a few years, and I've always wondered, because I experienced you as someone very committed, committed to your life, committed to everything you do. What were you like before this time? Was that something that you were raised with? Was that how your family, like, tell me a little bit about that story.
You know, I don't know. I'm a very strong empath. So if somebody doesn't know what that means, I feel everything, like heavy. So I feel other people's emotions. I feel my own things. I take on other people's energy. So who I always have been is somebody who feels energy around things. So when I have a struggle or a success, I feel it heavy. So that's the only way I can answer that. So the commitment part comes into when you actually feel something and it becomes your life, I guess those actions follow through with that. Mm-hmm. So I've enrolled myself easily in being somebody who's committed and makes change, but I've also easily can enroll myself in, wow, life is not working right now. I'm just depressed and I'm going to retract. Yeah. So I would say a commitment can work both ways.
That's so interesting, though, because when you talk about how you became a different person, mm-hmm. and you put on the weight, I mean, were you really that different of a person as far as mm-hmm. personality, drive? And I think that's a little bit what you're talking about too. It's like, what made you, some people don't move that quickly.
Yeah.
They can look at themselves and they're like, oh, whatever, I'm going to go have some more, I'm going to give up, I'm going to lose hope. But you made a change, it sounds like, right away.
So it wasn't right away because I had a 4-month deep depression. I mean, I was really depressed. And the only reason I would get up every day is because I had a daughter. Like that was, and I don't know if you've ever experienced deep depression. I know you actually have, but it's like that, when you're in that deep depression, you, it just like takes over you. I'm like, I have a lot of empathy towards people that have been through that now because it does consume and take over you. But what had worked for me was I had had success in my life. And I knew I had been successful in corporate America. I had been successful in things in my life. So I knew I had it in me, but I didn't actually know what I want. And so what typically happens with people, especially when they're depressed, is they're so clear on what they don't want, but we don't really think about what do we actually want. And that was what was missing from me during that time, is that I didn't know what I wanted. I just knew what I didn't want anymore.
Right.
So you were focusing. So you created this huge, you know, huge community.
Yes.
And it's aging in reverse. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Terry and I were talking a lot about that. I love everything about that because I've watched you and I've watched some of your journey over the last few years and really seen how your all parts of you, mind, body, and soul is aging in reverse. And what do you think, like, we were talking about, do you think it's the physical first, the spiritual first, the mental first? What got you moving?
Great question.
Yeah.
So I have a method to fat loss, transformation, aging in reverse, whatever you want to call it. And
we'd like to have that.
Yeah. And it's interesting because whether somebody is coaching with me one-on-one or they're coming to my VIP weekend or they're downloading at my $37 product, it's the same method. It's just in different stages. So my method starts the same way. It always starts with a decision. And when I had that turning point looking in that window, it started with a decision. It was, I decide that this is the line in the sand. I want something different for myself. And until you have a decision and that line in the sand, nothing will ever change. And that's for anyone, everywhere, anytime. That decision has to come first. So the first thing I typically will help people first is that decision. What do you want? And what are you declaring? What's your decision and what are you declaring? And that goes together. The second part of that method is you have to create a vision. That day when I saw myself in that window and I felt so broken, that day I went home and made a vision board. And I call them decision boards now because I don't believe it's just a vision. It's what are you deciding? And I remember cutting out magazine pictures and putting fit girls and happy couples and a beach and just whatever would call to me and
for what your joy was.
Yeah. And for the first time in years, all of a sudden I was evoking this feeling of happiness and wonder and excitement and success. And it clicked. It was like, okay, I'm not feeling that way now, but if I can evoke that looking at these pictures, then I need to look at these pictures more. Mm. So my method starts with a decision and declaring. But that next step is, what do you want to step into? And that's a vision. So what is your vision?
And what I'm hearing you say is it's a vision with a feeling, which is what Joe Dispenza is talking about, right?
Yes.
It's like stoking and bringing that the feeling is what actually creates.
Yes.
Yeah.
So once you have that vision, then it's asking yourself a question. It's, what are you going to do? What when you have that vision and you have those feelings, what is it that you're actually going to start doing to make sure that starts coming mm-hmm. into fruition? Because if you don't ask yourself that question, mm-hmm. the vision doesn't change. It just stays there as that little vision, right? You have to take those actions. So what I did at that time was I would look at that vision board and I would say, okay, if I was the girl living in that vision board, what are the actions that I would be taking every day? Who would I be talking to? What would I be eating? What would I be doing with my body? What would I be thinking? Where would I be spending my time? And that question led to those actions.
And created change. I want to go back on the original vision. When you're looking in the mirror, you're seeing yourself 60 pounds overweight. Mm-hmm. Was the change that you wanted to make more of the physical at that mm-hmm. time? Or mm-hmm. was it more of the mental, like you were just not happy in your life, you recognized mm-hmm. that? What was the beginning part of the change?
Yeah, so most people, when they want to change, a vision starts with what they look like or some kind of materialistic thing. That's normally what happens. But what lies beneath that is that mental part.
Right.
So you have, it's really a combination of both. So for me at that time, the initial thing was I got to fix my body, but I was so stuck in what I didn't want anymore and what was not working. Mm-hmm. And the change comes when you step into the vision of what you want to create.
What do you want?
Because if you, if I kept saying every day, I don't like who I've become. Mm-hmm. I don't like this mm-hmm. extra weight, I don't like how I feel, I was going to keep attracting more than that, mm-hmm. more of that. But if I could look at the girl on the vision board and say, huh, what is she eating? What would it feel like to be her? Mm-hmm. How is she moving her body? Who is she talking to?
Right.
Where is she listening to today? Mm-hmm. Then I started taking actions. And when you have different thoughts and actions, you can become a whole different person. Mm-hmm. Just to give you an example, if you had started thinking like Oprah every day, and you started taking every action like Oprah, mm-hmm. you would be Oprah. Mm-hmm. Like you're only thoughts and actions away from a new person.
You go where you think.
Yes.
You go where you put your attention to.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we are thoughts.
Yes, mm-hmm. we're completely thoughts. So at the time, I didn't know I was doing this. I just knew it was working. So my mm-hmm. body started to change. My outlook started to change. Everything started to change for me. And as I started sharing that at the time on social media, it was Facebook. And I had... It's funny because I have like almost 2 million people on my Facebook page. Now I had 100 people then.
But you were way ahead of the game.
She was way ahead of the game.
But I wasn't doing it for marketing. I was just sharing for my own accountability, and people were attracted to that. They were attracted to the realness of it. They were attracted to the authenticity behind it. They were attracted to, they felt seen and heard, inspired, all of it. So it drew in women that wanted to change too.
So were you showing your struggle?
I showed all of it.
Is so awesome. Instead of
So what doesn't work is when you go on social media and you say, "Oh, woe is me, my life's a mess." Blah blah. That doesn't work. Nobody wants to hear that.
No.
What does work is this is what I'm navigating through, and here's how I'm navigating through it. People love that. That's the journey that people want to take.
They want the steps.
Yes.
They want to know. There was another thing that I wanted to clarify because we started talking about, you know, age and reversal. Mm-hmm. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah. Well, what do you think it means? The age in reverse.
Okay, so in my little brain, I sit here and I think, thinking that first of all, you take care of your body, mm-hmm. right? So you're changing your food, you're changing your exercise, you're changing your let's say like me, I finally just came out in the open telling the truth on how old I was, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna be 63 next month. I started thinking the older days, it's like, oh my God, I'm getting older. I start thinking, my thinking was like, I'm slowing down, I'm not as cute, I'm not, blah, blah, blah. So that to me is like aging, you know, in your mind. And then even aging spiritually, there was no growth. Yeah. I was holding on to a lot of victim stories. I was holding on to a lot of my past and not being in my present.
Yeah, that makes sense. So to me, aging in reverse is not about a physical thing. It's not about how you look on the external, although that can be a result of it. But if you think about a little kid, what do you know about little kids? Like they have
curiosity
wonder, play, very present.
Present.
Okay. Growth oriented.
Trying new things.
Yeah.
Fearlessness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All that. So what happens is as we age traditionally, that stuff goes away. Mm-hmm. And we get super focused on what's not working in our bodies, what's not working in life, or what's breaking down. So to me, aging in reverse is getting back to that.
To being a child.
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, it was funny, when I was growing up, my father used to say all the time, he was a professional athlete, and he used to say, even at dinner, he's super funny. And he used to be like, if you didn't know how old you were, how old would you be?
Yeah.
And he taught us that at a very young age. And he used to just be like, you know, I've never had a job in my life. I just play all the time, you know, and he was really cute about it. He worked his ass off. But I mean, that was his mindset.
Yeah.
And, you know, now at 85, he had a stroke 18 years ago, was supposed to live 6 months. Like, his consciousness is so big that he's just like laughing. He can't talk, but he has so much joy in every day. I mean, it's amazing to watch. It's such a, for me to watch that is so inspiring.
Totally get that.
But he gets it. Like, he's just so, and I think that for me, aging in reverse is really that. It's the, it's not, I've never been attached to my number. That's never been a big thing. It's more about like what you were saying, the curiosity, the play, the awakening. To me, it's really about it, about expanding my consciousness. And I think that that.
So one day I was staring at a palm tree. I'm just going to tell you a little story. You can actually, you guys can't see it on this right now, but you can kind of see there's a palm tree out there. So look at that one that's kind of to the left out there. So I was staring at this palm tree and I had like a, literally a whole conversation with this palm tree. So I was staring at it. And if you think of a palm tree, you've got the green leaves on top. They're all vibrant and sticking up straight. And then you've got the brown ones that fall over before they die and they sort of fall over. Okay. Now, if you were to take any of those brown ones and paint them bright green, and stick a wire in it and make it stick up straight, it would look really funny. Something would be off, right? You could do it, but it would look off.
Right.
This is what happens in society to most people as they age. They don't like the way they physically look, and instead of working on their inside and nutrients or whatever, they start going with the Botox and the plastic surgery. And I'm not against any of that, believe me.
No.
But this is what happens. So you start slapping on, oh, I need to, you know, make my forehead not move, and I need to like lift this and tuck that. Yeah. Okay.
And now you focus on the outside.
Yes. And now you look funny. You look like that palm tree that's walking around the brown thing. Yeah. And something looks off.
Yeah.
However, we all know these people. Picture somebody you know that is older than you, or older, what you consider older, that is surfing all the time,
vibrant,
playing tennis, whatever it is. Maybe they have gray hair. Maybe they've done nothing to their face. There's something about their energy that's super attractive and they feel youthful. Doesn't matter how many wrinkles they have. Can you picture someone like that?
Totally. Sure.
Okay. How do you want to age? Do you want it? So what we are attracted to is the energy and the vibrancy, not the appearance.
No. Yeah.
So when you go after that energy and that inner vibrancy, the external looks changes too.
Yeah.
It does. But when we just focus on the external and you don't deal with that vibrancy or that energy.
No.
That's how we rapid age.
Don't you think our molecules really can be reversed in aging just from energy?
Yeah, I do believe that.
I mean, do believe that. What we shed every day, what is it within 7 years?
It's
your
quick.
Whole body cells go through. So if you have that magical playfulness and that energy and stuff, that you can create those kind of molecules. Is that what changes it?
It does, but like, I'll give you an example. Like, again, I'm not against plastic surgery, but only I've had my share of stuff. Like, I am certainly not completely natural. That is not my, that is not me. And I will never have gray hair, by the way. Like, that's not happening.
No, there's no judgment on any of it either way.
I'll give an example. Years ago, I did Botox. And I looked funny. I thought I looked funny. Like, I didn't have an expression in my forehead, my eyes. So I was like, I don't want to do it anymore. I want my forehead to move. And what's funny is I'll get comments sometimes that people are like, you have bad Botox because my forehead moves. And I'm like, no, I don't have Botox,
don't have
so it moves. That's what it's
supposed to do. Which is so weird.
But to me, so my forehead moving and my eyes moving and smiling, it gives me that
expression.
So I don't want it. I choose not to have it. So that's just one example.
Yeah.
But when I focus on what I'm eating, what I'm reading, what I'm taking and rebuilding, my energy changes. And I believe that's what gives me a youthful experience, a youthful appearance.
I would agree with that. I would totally agree with that. I think people that are really youthful are people that are what they're taking into their body and then how their expression is in the outside world.
And attitude. I think, you know, even like right now, we're going through COVID-19 and it's so easy if we just kind of let it go through. We go through the depression and we accept it and we just sit around in our sweatpants all day.
Yeah.
Don't
I did.
But we could go down that slippery slope.
Yes.
And so it's a choice. I remember, it was about the first month. Of course, I had a new boyfriend that was just moving in with me. So I had to keep it myself to get a little bit together. But I remember thinking every day, okay, I'm choosing to do something different. Instead of saying, okay, it's another groundhog day. What am I choosing to do different tonight?
I love that.
Right? To energize myself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And to energize my kids.
And that's everything. And that's using your brain, learning, like really right. diving in and learning. And that is, to me, aging in reverse. So people okay. come to me for fat loss. That's what they're like, I want right. to lose fat.
Right.
It's all that same mm-hmm. method. Like you, that everything on your body is reflecting what's happening internally. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
It is everything happening on your body is reflection of the internal. You mm-hmm. start doing that internal work. You get clear on your vision. You right. change your energy. Everything starts changes, to change.
Right. You know what I think that's really interesting is that when you first started, it was mm-hmm. it was a physical experience, mm-hmm. right? And you were like, oh, I've got yes. to change my life and made a decision. Uh-huh. And then over the years, it was almost like that was your awakening. Like that was your moment.
I've had like, many awakenings. I'm not, okay. I mean, just to be real, and they keep like happening.
That. Yeah.
Most recently, we were talking before I started recording, yeah. I had three surgeries this year. Like three things that happened to me. Mm-hmm. And it challenged me to my core, like, wait a minute, I'm this expert, but I'm getting injured, like tearing my bicep, mm-hmm. like disc rupture, like all this random stuff. And I had to quickly switch because I could have gone down this path of, whoa, my body's breaking down. Mm-hmm. I could have easily said to everyone, I'm done. I'm not doing fitness. I'm not, I'm going to go get a job doing something else. Like and no one would have challenged me. They'd be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You're getting old. Your body's breaking down. But I had to have this change of heart with why is this happening for me? Mm-hmm. What's the lesson in it? Mm-hmm. And now what?
Right.
And there are so many gifts from my injuries, like me really understanding inflammation now, me understanding pain management, me understanding the psychology behind an injury and pain and what you can create because of it. I'm actually grateful for my injuries now, which is weird, but that's an example of how you age in reverse.
I love you. Did you suffer from an autoimmune disease, celiac?
I didn't stop. So again, that's a word choice, which is interesting. I have an autoimmune, but I don't suffer from it.
But before you had the mindset of that, mm-hmm. knowing the difference, when you first mm-hmm. started it, when it first came into mm-hmm. being, did you not feel
for a moment? So, but that's the thing; it's always a decision. So that is something I've true. Always had working for me.
That's what I'm wondering.
And I'm going yes. That I grew up learning not to be a victim mindset.
Okay.
That is definitely, I learned early on, you can't have a victim mindset. And that is an actual strong trait of empaths, typically, is to not have, you're always looking to improve yourself. Right. So I learned early on, maybe it was from my dad, yes. I don't know, but that it was always like, well, what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. So I learned always, the victim mindset will never serve you.
Right.
So I'll have a moment of, wow, why did this happen?
Yeah.
And then it's how fast can you shift into what's the benefit?
So let me ask you something. If autoimmune diseases right now, 73% of women worldwide have some kind yes. of autoimmune disease. Do you think it's all primarily, not from their DNA, but something they've learned, they've created through mindset, through a lack of something, through depression, so, unhappiness?
Good question. The way an autoimmune happens is you have to be born with the gene to get an autoimmune, first and foremost. So if you don't have the gene, there's no way to get it. So number one, you have to have the gene for an autoimmune disease. Then something has to happen in your life. A stress has to trigger you actually getting the disease, okay? So if you're going to get Crohn's or rheumatoid arthritis or celiac or type 1 diabetes, they're all autoimmune, okay? Scleroderma, there's a whole list of things. Uh-huh. That is usually, even MS, is triggered by a stress. Now, if you do not get your first autoimmune under control, which typically can be controlled with diet, not always, but typically, then you are prone to get another autoimmune. Mm-hmm. Most autoimmune, not every, most autoimmune is managed through diet and mindset. Mm-hmm. Most of them. But you have to make that decision and choose. Because the second you want to argue with me, which someone listening wants to argue right now, mm-hmm. you're back in victim mode. And you can be right all you want. It will not change a thing.
But it'll keep you sick.
It's going to keep you sick. So mm-hmm. you have nothing to lose by believing me. You have everything to lose by arguing with me. Because I will not, this is my tough love, I'm not going to validate someone's victim story around it.
Right.
Because the second I do that, it's called a false assumed truth. Mm-hmm. That's the fat I talk about killing, FAT.
Yes.
The second I validate that for you, it becomes a crutch and there's no possibility of change. So what would you rather? I'll ask that question. Would you rather believe that there's a possibility you can get out of pain, you can create whatever? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather me validate that, yes, you're right, your life sucks mm-hmm. and there's no hope? Like, really? I mean, what would you rather?
No, I mean, it's interesting because the universe keeps giving you tests as far as
how I've always
had so many tests. So you are the poster child for that. right?
And I don't want to be the poster
but
child, but I have to be clear about my intentions. So to give you an example, with my arm right now, I tore my bicep in an accident. I waited too long for the surgery because I didn't know I tore it. So I now have radial nerve damage, which means I have a lot of pain in my right arm right now. And I can't supinate, which means I can't turn out. So I can't handwrite or use a fork right now. I can choose every day to be stuck in my pain and my story, or I can choose to go to a brain center, which I go to and retrain my brain, and physical therapy, and eat an anti-inflammatory diet. I can choose all these things, and then that gives me hope. And with hope comes a change of thoughts and actions, and that creates results. And I am progressing because of that.
So how do you teach your clients and people who are listening hope?
Yeah.
They're dealing with all kinds of diseases or physical ailments. And also the second part of the question I want to ask, because I love this conversation, is that what did you learn from this accident that you had?
Gosh, okay, great question. So number one, how do I give them hope? I can't give people hope. They have to decide they want it first. And then I will validate them and help them with the tools.
So what if they don't know how to validate it? What if they're coming to you to get some hope and they're asking for it? How would you do that?
So it depends, but if I can tell, like if somebody's going to work with me as a client, especially if they're in one of my higher end things, like a private coaching client or my VIP weekend, which I love those because I have 12 women max at those. There's an application process, and I can tell just from the application, is this victim mode or not? Okay.
We can only help who's going to help themselves.
Yes. Right? So that has to start with a decision, an empowered decision. If somebody comes at me with, I've tried everything, nothing works, and this is why it won't work, they are not my person. They are not in a place of possibility yet.
Because they'll argue with you.
They will argue, and I'm not going to take that on. I am not here to arm wrestle and do that with someone.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
If they are in a place of hope, then I'm all about, let's talk about what's happened and let's figure out how to change it. But it has to be an empowered decision, always. Same with my programs. The way I share on social media, the way I teach, everything is designed to empower people. And if someone doesn't get that, they're not my person. I'm not the coach or trainer for them. I'm just not. They would find somebody else. You know, and you can tell by messages. I had somebody message me the other day. They messaged me on my personal Facebook, which I rarely check those. And that's not even, it's not a public page. And they had written me this whole thing about their weight loss question. And I saw it like a month later because I don't check those messages. And I thought, do I answer this or do I not answer it? And just as I'm thinking that, because I want people to go through my business page, they sent me a message that said, you haven't answered me yet. I can't believe it. That's what it said.
Oh my
and I thought, right away, I was like, that's not my person.
Yeah.
I'm not answering because that's a victim statement.
Mm-hmm. So what if someone comes to you, they have hope, but in the process they get stuck?
Well, that's different. I have all kinds of exercises. The method is there's tools around that. And this is whether it's weight loss or you want to make more money or you want to age. This works for everything. But part of that method is identifying your false assumed truth. So what is that? A false assumed truth is my autoimmune disease is keeping me stuck. I'm too old. I have too many injuries. Those are all false assumed truths. Okay. Identify it. Figure out what's called your driving core motivator. What is the reason you want to be on the other side of that? So we have to figure that out, okay? Once you know your false assumed truth and your reason, you've got a method to help you get past that. Because the question is always, what are you stepping into? What do you want? And it's redirecting that focus on what do you actually want and what are the steps you have to take each day to get towards that. And you have to focus on those wins. I'll give you a total example, physically. My tricep right now is not working because of my radial nerve. When I was cleared to start working out again, all I could see in the mirror was that my tricep wasn't working. And I would like wiggle it like, okay, I got a grandma arm, what's happening? I was so focused on this that I couldn't even get myself to have a good workout, okay? As soon as I recognized that that was my false assumed truth and switched it and said, I'm gonna work on my shoulders, I'm gonna work on my butt, I'm gonna work on whatever can work.
It's working.
No. It was really funny. I posted a video with a shoulder workout. And I was so self-conscious posting it that people were going to say, your tricep, what's wrong with it? And people commented, wow, your arms, I want arms like you. And I saw like 5 comments, I want arms like you. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, what an example of I focused on what I wanted to create And no one even noticed that thing I was self-conscious about.
Wow.
Where if I, so that's just one example of what are you focusing on?
Yeah. So what did the lesson, finish the lesson?
Oh my gosh.
The lesson is, what did
it say? So many lessons. Well, number one is everyone has a purpose. I believe that. And I fully believe, and I almost like hate saying it because I'm like, what else am I calling into my life here? Because this is like, I believe that my life's purpose is to experience things so I can then teach and help others. So I've had a lot of life experiences, like crazy life experiences, and I've never taken those slowly. I fully use those to help others. My business started from sharing that story. Yeah. And it's continued. I've had story after story, and I always turn it around with what's the lesson and how am I supposed to serve others with this? And that is what's worked. So this arm lesson for me was the biggest lesson for me was an idea of surrender. And I had last year on my birthday tattooed the word surrender on my arm. And the fact that I tore my bicep on my surrender arm was like, okay, this is,
I'm paying attention.
Yeah. I'm paying attention. Yeah. How do I surrender into this?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And it's, so tell me this, when you make up, how did you learn? So how many times does everyone see different diets? And even, you know, a handful of years back, which was 13, 15 years ago, when you created, you know, your diet plan or life plan, I don't know what you call it, but how did you, that was plan.
Yeah,
like how did somebody, did you just read a lot of books and
trial
and error or how?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, I became a licensed master sports nutritionist. So I, on my, for changing my own body, I went deep. I wanted to learn. Most women, especially women, when they jump on to lose weight, they get information overload. Like, what the heck do I do? Do I do keto? Do I paleo? Vegan? Zone? Like, what? It's information overload, right? Yes. So I wanted to get the education first. So I dove in, I learned nutrition, and I started practicing common sense to myself.
Okay.
Common sense to myself. The first diet plan I wrote was called My 7-Day Jumpstart, which is now a best-selling book in stores. And I did it on my exact process and method I've been sharing with you. Decide, create your vision, figure out your driving core motivator, eat unprocessed natural raw foods. Here's how you combine it. I made it simple. It works because it's the truth. There's not a doctor or anyone that could argue with my plan. I mean, I guess they could argue, but it's common sense what I teach.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like anyone that picks up my book. It is eating natural, real, unprocessed foods that once grew and are full of life, because you want foods that once lived, because that's what's going to, you want that living energy in your body.
So is most of what you eat, would you say fruits and vegetables, or do you eat meat, or is there
sure
type of, yeah, like.
I eat natural and processed real foods and nothing is off limits. So that means I am not perfect. The only thing that's 100% off limits to me is anything with gluten because I'm celiac. Okay. So that's the only thing I will not do because I would get sick from that. But I eat tons of fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
I definitely eat fish, chicken, turkey. I eat lots of fat, avocado, nuts, seeds. Very little grains, and if it's a grain, it's more like it'll be white rice or sweet potatoes, very little. And I eat when I'm hungry and I stop when I'm full. It's really
simple.
Yeah, and then to add into the anti-inflammatory part, I am pretty much not a dairy eater. I mean, dairy is like a special treat to me, and I can, and if anyone listening has autoimmune, I would take all grains and dairy out.
Okay. And what about alcohol?
I'm not an alcohol drinker, but I'm not against it. But I personally don't enjoy it. I don't like how I feel with it. Mm-hmm. And I, it's
even
not
wine, a, something simple.
Yeah, you know, at the max, you might see me having like a glass of champagne or a glass of wine, but I am not a drinker. I've never really been an alcohol drinker, so it, that doesn't do much for
it's
me.
It's not right.
Yeah.
You like
but I don't have a, like people on my plans, I don't eliminate that.
Right. I'm curious about your app.
Yeah. I don't have my own app anymore. I did. And it just was too, it's not something I enjoy, but I do have. I'm on FitPlan app, and it's a great, and I can give you a link if you want to put in your show notes, because anyone listening can get a 7-day free trial, and it's body weight workouts, so great way to do it,
And especially now, when everyone's trying to find something.
But I also have a ton of follow-along workouts that are super inexpensive and bundled together, anyone, like, depending on what you want to try from me, I have all kinds of things like that. So I've got a home fit program, which is four of my best follow-along DVDs that you can actually download. You don't even have to have anything shipped to you.
Right.
And has a nutrition plan and workouts, all like super inexpensive, like $35.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
to
get on that. Hey, what about, so what would be your vision if you're aging in reverse and you're 49?
Yeah.
For your fit, like 50, 60, because our show is really about reinvention.
Yeah.
And so tell me what your vision would be in 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's going to sound funny, but I don't usually think of my vision that far out of like, what do I want to create? I know how I want to feel. I want to feel empowered. I want to feel like my life has value. I want to feel that I'm helping people. I want to be growing, teaching, experiencing. And that's about as far as I know from that. I can't say that, like, this is what I want to be doing. Or I'll tell you, the older I've gotten, the less hard I've worked, the less I've chased, and the better I've done.
Right. You sound like you're a person who really lives in the moment.
I work on it. I don't know that I fully have done it, but that's my, I try to do that.
I can feel that from you. Do you have anything in your life that you want to reinvent?
Oh, I don't know, because I think I do as I think of things. Like, there's nothing I've not created and reinvented. I would like to learn more. It's not maybe reinvention, but I'm really trying to master this idea of chronic pain, because I live in chronic pain. And so I now understand women and men do. And I'm forever on this quest to master that, because that really is what ages people rapidly, because chronic pain stops people. They give up. And I've been tempted with that so many times that I'm very aware of how to break the pain cycle is to keep your body moving, because you're not thinking about it when you're moving. It's the idea of starting to move that's scary for people. So reinventing myself with that, I guess, would be my best answer to that, is figuring out that workaround around that.
I love what you just said. Moving, like, people are once you're moving, you're not thinking about
it. So, because what happens is, because I go through this every morning, I wake up and I'm in pain. Like, every day, my back, my arm, like, it's just there. Yeah, it's there. I mean, I need a fusion in my back. And it's funny, because it's actually funny, because my surgery was not expected on my arm this year. And I had two laser endoscopic surgeries on my lower back as a trial to not do a fusion. But as we knew, I might need that fusion. And I don't let insurance dictate treatments, but because insurance totally, I use my whole deductible, they were joking with me, insurance, they're like, if you need any other surgeries this year, you better do it.
Jump in.
So, like, my husband and I were talking, he's like, just do the fusion. I'm like, I can't have another surgery this year. Like, I'm done having and we had this whole discussion this morning. He's like, but how much pain do you want to, you know, be in? So I have this conversation with myself daily, like, do I want to have another surgery, or do I want to figure this out? So every day I wake up in pain, and I have to re-enroll myself on what am I going to do about it right now? And the choice is, I can be in pain and not go about my day, or I can get myself up. I can lay down on my infrared mat, which I love. I can take my supplements. I can eat a healthy unprocessed food breakfast. I can get my body moving, and something then changes in me because I'm moving and I break that pain cycle.
Right.
But if I go that other direction and I let the pain enroll me, then my day goes in a very different direction.
That's so powerful, because there's so many people in pain and chronic pains. And again, with the autoimmune diseases, it's crazy.
Yes.
Do you take any, like ibuprofen, Tylenol? Do you stay away from
that? No, I'm not anti-prescription. But so I currently have three prescriptions that are prescribed to me. I do not take them every day.
Yeah.
But I do it as needed. And just to be real with what they are, one of them is Tyvergex, which is it's like indomethacin. It's a super strong NSAID. And it's prescribed to me every day. I take it maybe twice a week. And that's and the reason I do that is, when you have inflammation, if you do not knock out your inflammation, it will keep building and getting worse. So if you knock it out a few ways, number one is eating an unprocessed natural food diet is going to help. Movement helps. Some supplements like fish oil and turmeric are going to help. My infrared mat is huge for inflammation. So you can knock it out that way. But sometimes if chronic pain really flares up, an NSAID will knock that out enough so you can get through that pain cycle and move. The danger with NSAIDs is, the more you take it, the more you need. And it's terrible for your gut health. Okay, so it'll break down the lining. So you have other complications. So I prefer, and I'm not a medical doctor, but based on my experience and my research, I would prefer to use an NSAID on an as desperately needed basis so we get that kick up from it, right? So that's how I treat an NSAID. The other thing I have a prescription to is something called gabapentin. And gabapentin is a specific nerve pain medicine. It's actually prescribed for seizures, but it also has an off-label for nerve pain. And anyone listening that has nerve pain knows it is no freaking joke, like when you have it. So with my arm, this nerve pain gets so intense that gabapentin will knock it out. There's so many side effects with gabapentin that I don't love it, but also we'll take that probably once a week as needed.
Okay.
That's so good for people to hear.
Yes.
And I said three, but it's two. Sorry, I don't know.
I just feel like so many people, like, they're so all this way or all that way. And that's what I love about what you're sharing is because it's doable.
Yes.
Right.
It's doable.
Yes. I'm not a fan, and I encourage anyone that's on a heavy medication to really look at, like, do you want that the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. Because if not, can you treat it like an as needed? Mm-hmm. Because pain is not bad. Pain is bad because we believe it's bad, mm-hmm. but pain in itself is your body's indication of telling you something.
That's right.
So we need to listen to that.
Yeah. That's right. I think all diseases are bad.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you work out now, like you were doing, you said after your back or after your arm, you went back to like 20 minutes of an intensive workout sometimes, or you'll just.
So all my workouts are short for the most part, but my whole thing is focus on progression and intensity. If you want to change your body through workouts, you have to constantly progress, meaning you're making it more challenging for yourself, and you have to create your own intensity. If you do not do intensity or progression, your body won't change. What happens is people start with 3 sets of 12, they do the same thing for 20 years, and they want to know why. They're like, oh, I'm getting older, it doesn't work anymore. No, what doesn't work is you're not using progression or intensity.
Okay.
That's so interesting. Okay, on a totally different note, I'm curious, you, because I don't know, this is the first time I've met you and stuff, and you're such an old soul. Mm-hmm. Do you have a spiritual practice that helps you get through all of this?
I do, but I don't know how to label it. I don't know what it's called.
No.
So I believe that we are definitely souls having a human experience, spiritual beings having a human experience. I believe I have a sixth sense. I believe that, and I think that's a connection again with being an empath. I do believe that it's important to have a practice around that. I don't personally do it through a religion or that's not me, but I will get there through meditation. I will get there sometimes through breath work. I've gotten there through plant medicine, but all of those are important to me because I'm very clear now that we are here having an experience and there's more.
Yeah.
That's my knowing.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
When we went to school, you understand that is there, you know, it's
just having an awareness.
It's an awareness, and it really is. I mean, my belief is that we're souls having human experience, and I know that's basically, you know, the context of what we were working on for a few years. And so I think when you come at life in that way, it really helps you to look at all of it.
Yeah.
It's such a different.
And to me, that's what clears up anxiety. It's what clears up pain. It's what clears up everything when you can get outside of yourself, and that's what that is, because there's a voice in the back of all of our heads. And to me, that's that human experience. I don't believe that's your soul talking like that. So when you can get past that voice, you have a different viewpoint on things, and that's when you've got clarity, and that's when you cannot change.
Yeah, what is the book, The Untethered Soul, where he calls that the roommate? That's that voice. He goes, damn roommate. It's just yakka, yakka, yakka. You know,
the committee.
Yeah, when you said that's so true.
Do you ever just beat the hell out of yourself?
Of course.
I feel everybody does.
I'm not perfect at this at all. But what I think is important is to surround yourself with people that think alike, because you don't want someone that enrolls you in your victim story.
Right.
So like my husband, for instance, he knows me very well. And there's definitely days, weeks, whatever, that I'm in a story around something and he's got to hear it. But what he won't do is validate that.
Let you wallow around in it.
Yes, because that's the danger. If you find people to validate your negativity or your feeling, you don't shift out of it.
It's true.
So it's not about not feeling. It's not about not having a victim story. It's how fast you recognize it and shift out of it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you say are some of your most powerful tools to help keep you on track?
Gosh, I don't know that I have a powerful tool other than I have to stay in the work. Like it's like a constant, like I have some non-negotiables. Like I am a huge fan of nature. Like I can't think of the last time I didn't go walk outside during the day. Like every day I need to ground myself in nature. I have to do that. It's non-negotiable for me to eat nourishing foods. It's non-negotiable for me to have connection with people. Like, I am not the person that says I can't meet for lunch because I have work to do. That's, you'll never hear me say that anymore. Years ago, I would have said that. That's a priority to connect with people over I have work to do. Like, yeah. If you send me an email, I may not ever reply because I don't care about email. Like, I don't let other things dictate my life anymore. My life is about connection. My life is about growth. It's about learning. So those are the things that I'll say yes to.
When did you change that mindset? Because I think you've had a big shift in the last handful of years.
Yes.
We've talked a little bit about that. And so when was that moment where you went, my work isn't going to run my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, like, what was that moment?
I don't know if there was an exact moment, but there was a trifecta of things happening where I started having a breakdown in my business, meaning my business was bringing in a lot of money, but we weren't profitable anymore. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I had a lot of people working for me, and I felt like I was all of a sudden working for someone or something versus like running my own business. I was having breakdowns in my marriage. We were fighting a lot about things. And then my body was breaking down. That's when my back was injured. So that sort of trifecta of things not working had to have me take a step back and look. And then it was doing some of that spiritual work to then take a step back. And the interesting thing is I attracted more of the right people, opportunities, more money, all of that, the less I started doing.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. Just being.
Yes.
Which is hard for type A personalities. I know for me, oh my God, I don't think I was ever comfortable in being until I was probably 55.
Yeah.
I was all constant, a hamster on that wheel, just working, you know, and it was just such a breath of fresh air to be able to sit there and go, I'm going to go outside and just take a walk. I'm not going to do anything today. I'm not going to have any meetings. I'm not going to, you know, and it was hard to do at first, but it helped.
It was hard for me at first too, but I honestly, like, where it used to be, I would get an idea or hear of something and I would want to chase and go.
Yeah.
To now, the first thought that comes to my mind is that's too much work.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
I don't know.
Do I really want this?
Yes.
Do I really want this?
That's true.
It's so true. Like, I used to say yes to pretty much every interview. It's so rare that I say yes to an interview now. Like, I'm like, because I don't want to. I'm like, well, why? Like, if it doesn't light me up or it doesn't feel good, I just don't want to.
Well, I know you've lit up so many of our viewers today and women. And I tell you, a lot of women they accept getting older when they hit a certain number and you see their lives starting to go down. But now you're starting to see more of a trend. I mean, like, we've been interviewing so many amazing women, like Rita Wilson Hanks and Christy Turlington and all these women. They're not stopping because they hit a certain age. They're reinventing. They're being inspired. Mm-hmm. They have more work
to
do.
They're on purpose.
And they're on purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's so refreshing to hear you on your purpose.
Thank you.
And taking the time and talking with us.
Yes. As our things are dinging and
dinging. This has been a really
good one of those days, you guys. This is one of those days.
We have one more last question now.
Yeah, so we love to ask our guests, our last question is, our show is called Own Your Throne. Mm-hmm. So what does owning your throne mean to you?
Being responsible. Like owning your story, owning your place and things. Like, the only way for change to happen and to have a good experience is to take responsibility around that. So owning your throne to me would be getting away from victim conversation and being more accountable.
More accountable. You're responsible.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's really powerful. Yeah.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you.
This podcast was created by Perry and I because we both met at school getting our master's in spiritual psychology, where we learned the tools and techniques to really heal, reclaim, and redefine the second chapters of our lives.
And you'll also learn some tools and techniques from our guest. All you have to do is go and subscribe and leave some comments. Let us know what you think about the shows, as well as maybe you have some ideas of other guests that we could have.
So enjoy the conversations, and we look forward to hearing from you.
And be sure and check out our website, which is ownyourthrone.co. And we have some freebies for you, so be sure and check us out.